This is an Alert USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Saturday, February 15, 2014. This week in security news, over the past 5 years, President Obama has repeatedly stated in public the Al-Qaeda terrorist organization has been decimated and is on the run. This week, two of America's top intelligence officials delivered sobering testimony before the Senate Armed Services Committee, within which they stated the exact opposite. Under direct questioning by ranking member Senator James Inhofe of Oklahoma, National Intelligence Director James Clapper and Defense Intelligence Agency Director Michael Flynn were asked very directly the status of the organization. Quote, "People keep talking about how Al-Qaeda is on the run, on the path to defeat. To me, it's just the opposite of that. Is Al-Qaeda on the run and on the path to defeat?" National Intelligence Director James Clapper responded, "No, it is morphing and franchising itself, not only here, but in other areas of the world." Defense Intelligence Agency Director Michael Flynn responded even more bluntly by simply stating, "No, they are not." Both Clapper and Flynn went on to testify that there has been a proliferation of Al-Qaeda groups or Al-Qaeda wannabes in Africa where there is a perfect storm of conditions for those groups to develop, such as large ungoverned areas, porous borders, and the availability of weapons, primarily from Libya. Director Flynn also stated that instability in Syria could allow Al-Qaeda-affiliated groups to acquire weapons of mass destruction. Quote, "While Syria's stockpiles are currently under the control of the regime, the movement of these weapons from their current locations for disposal, as well as other reasons, drastically increases the risk of these weapons or their components falling into the wrong hands." Director Clapper also noted that the al-Nusra Front in Syria does harbor designs for attacks in Europe and on the homeland. As previously reported by Threat Journal, Director Clapper testified before the Senate Intelligence Committee that the Al-Qaeda terrorist organization poses a greater challenge today than 10 years ago, not only due to the network's franchises being more globally dispersed, but also because of the increased knowledge of counterterrorism and surveillance methods gained from the Edward Snowden intelligence leaks. At this point, we would be remiss if we did not remind listeners of two important points to keep in mind. The first is that most of the estimated 100,000 opposition forces fighting in Syria are not even Syrian, but come from countries throughout the Middle East, Europe, and even from America. The second is that it is very well documented by mainstream and non-traditional media that funding, weapons, and training for Syrian opposition forces, including the Al-Qaeda-affiliated al-Nusra Front, the very group Director Clapper states is posing a threat to the homeland, has actually come from the U.S. government, along with the United Kingdom, the Saudis, and Qatar. The net takeaway from all of this is that the scope of terrorist threats to the homeland, as well as U.S. citizens and interests abroad, is expanding. You can find much more on this story in this week's email version of Threat Journal. If you're not already a subscriber, visit ThreatJournal.com and sign up today. It's completely free. Elsewhere in the Middle East, it is reported this week that Iran has successfully test-fired two missiles, including a long-range ballistic missile. Iran's defense ministry said the missiles include a laser-guided surface-to-surface and air-to-surface missile, as well as a new long-range ballistic missile that can carry multiple warheads. Iranian Defense Minister Brigadier General Hossein Dakhan said the long-range ballistic missile can evade enemies' anti-missile defense systems and has the capability of destroying multiple targets. Pentagon spokesman Admiral John Kirby said that the Department of Defense has seen the reports that Iran's missile program continues to pose a dangerous threat to the region and is an issue that they closely monitor. Deputy Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi this week stated that Iran's ballistic missile program will not be discussed in upcoming P5+1 comprehensive nuclear talks due to resume on February 18th in Vienna. Araghchi stated that defense-related issues are a red line for Iran. "We will not allow such issues to be discussed in future talks. We will not discuss any issue other than the nuclear dossier in the negotiations." Listeners are reminded that Director of National Intelligence James Clapper had previously told the Senate Armed Services Committee that Iran was expected to test a, quote, "missile system that could potentially have ICBM-class range." Further, the 2013 Ballistic and Cruise Missile Threat Assessment, produced by the Department of Defense's National Air and Space Intelligence Center, states that Iran has ambitious ballistic missile and space launch development programs and continues to attempt to increase the range, lethality, and accuracy of its ballistic missile force. The report goes on to state that Iran may be capable of striking the United States with an intercontinental ballistic missile by 2015. You can find links to this and other related reports and testimony in this week's email version of Threat Journal. In a brief Fukushima update, the situation at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant is going from bad to worse. In addition to skyrocketing radiation levels being measured around the plant and in ground and seawater, It was revealed this week that Tokyo Electric Power Company is having problems making simple radiation measurements. As an example, last September, just days before Tokyo won its bid to host the 2020 Olympics, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe stated to the world that Fukushima's contaminated water problem was quote-unquote under control. Now, in a new report by Reuters, Japan's Nuclear Regulatory Authority has uncovered that following a re-examination of water samples, levels of strontium-90, considered twice as harmful to people as cesium-137, were five times the levels previously recorded, and the problem has only gotten worse since then. Additionally, a formal European Commission study from late 2012, but which is only surfacing now, on the spread of radioactive contamination from Fukushima, indicates the triple meltdown caused, quote, significant deposition of radioactivity over North America. Specifically, the study claims models show that nearly 13% of all of the radioactive iodine released in the initial weeks following the disaster was deposited over the United States, with the West and East coasts receiving the largest amount of contamination. The report states that as iodine does not dissolve as easily as cesium, it remains in gaseous form and is redistributed by convection to the troposphere, where the wind speed is greater and transports the iodine greater distances. In travel security news, this week the State Department issued an updated travel warning for Saudi Arabia and a travel alert for Thailand, holding at 40 the number of locations around the world specifically identified by the U.S. government as posing significant threats for U.S. citizens. These include a formal travel alert for the Russian Federation advising of the very real threat of terrorist attacks during the Winter Olympic Games in Sochi, as well as a worldwide caution for Americans warning of the continuing threat of terrorist actions and violence against U.S. citizens and interests globally. As always, if you are planning travel abroad, even to such common locations as the Caribbean, Mexico, or Europe, you are strongly advised to regularly monitor the U.S. State Department's travel website, where information can be found about the security situation at your destination. This has been an Alert USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Saturday, February 15th, 2014.